Welcome back to another episode of the Dropback Podcast. I am Bradley, as always, joined by my co-host Zane. And if you missed last week's episode, we talked about the forgotten division, the NFC West, our offseason thoughts, what they should do in free agency, and the past season. So, how are you doing today, Zane?
I'm doing pretty good. As usual, I'm excited for another episode. This is a weird division. We're not doing divisions right now. Silly. We're talking about the... You know, we're talking about the combine, and that's always exciting, I feel like. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, we're getting off the division train for a little bit. The past, like, four episodes have been division, which is kind of nice to, you know, get off the division, take a little side quest. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's definitely something different. I like switching it up every once in a while. It gives our listeners, you know, something new every once in a while.
Yeah. And we are talking about the NFL Combine. And let me just get this out of the way, first of all. The Combine is overhyped, in my opinion.
I agree.
For what it is. It's like... Oh, like, it shouldn't decide someone's stock, especially like a first round day one guy. Like, it should not. Like, I've been seeing a lot of Caleb Williams. Like, oh, Caleb Williams, he refuses
to compete.
Like, this proves that he's not a competitor.
And Jaden aren't throwing too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like, no, this doesn't prove anything. He has everything to lose if he throws at the combine.
I don't even think he's gonna, like, even if he did throw, he's still throwing in his pro day. He's letting other people shine. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree. And May didn't throw, Daniels didn't throw.
All three of them, so they can go with their pro day. Like,
yeah.
Better
and the combine is truly like an interview day.
That is the most important part. The actual measurables of their body and the interviews, I feel, are the most important parts of it.
Yeah. And I don't hate on guys that don't weigh in or anything like that, because, I mean, they're probably just taking a break from football a little bit. Like Williams, all these guys that aren't I mean, not necessarily taking a break, but, like, kind of chilling out because they just got done with a long season, especially McCarthy. He played 15 games, so he's probably
still did everything.
I respect. He had everything to gain.
I feel like he did. Yeah. Okay. I heard, did you see the reports? He might have gotten himself in that top 10 range, like, officially.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question. Who would you rather take, McCarthy or Daniels?
Daniels. Easily Daniels. Okay, I love McCarthy. And I talk about him a lot, but Daniels just has that more upside to him, I feel like. Did you see... Okay. So, Daniels didn't weigh in, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the memes of, like, a guy shoving a bunch of burgers into his mouth, and they said, that's going to be Daniels over the next couple weeks before he weighs in at his pro day?
I mean, he definitely needs to gain weight.
Yeah, for sure. They all do, really, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I want him to be in, like, the 220, 230 range.
He definitely needs to be in that 230 range.
Yeah, because he's a small guy, and he takes hits. Like,
he takes unnecessary hits.
Yeah. Okay, would you take him top three, though?
Daniels, only because it is a quarterback, yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've been talking a lot.
Positional value is important. And the Patriots are not going to get in this position again to draft a quarterback. And especially because next year it's not, it just makes sense.
Okay. I talked about this on my TikTok. If you want to go follow, it's Pyramid Football. Just a little shout out. But I had this take where I was like, basically, I understand positional value is important. 100% agree. Like, you need a quarterback, and I understand the Patriots need a quarterback, but the Patriots aren't in a place to win, and I would rather take a guy at three that you know for sure you're going to hit on in Harrison than a guy that maybe, hopefully you hit. Like, you definitely have potential on him, but you're not for sure going to, like, hit on him. But with Harrison, you know for sure you're going to hit. So I would rather take Harrison at three.
Who's throwing to him?
Okay, my thing is, yes, that's a good question. Who is throwing to him? Mac Jones, no. Bailey Zappe, no. You could trade for Fields, potentially. You could go out and try to sign Baker. All these guys, or bring in a veteran quarterback. Wilson's a free agent now. He got released the other day.
Absolutely not. Tannehill. Absolutely not.
Okay, no. But it's better than Mac. It's better than Mac. He will give you more progression.
It's like putting duct tape on a sinking ship. It doesn't work. It's just not going to win. It's not going to be good in the long run. Like, it won't win us a Super Bowl, and it's just going to make the team just have worse draft picks in the long run.
But I feel like the Patriots aren't in a position to win a Super Bowl, or even close.
Well, that's why you get your quarterback now, and then you gradually continue building a roster around him so that you're in that position to win.
Yeah, I can see that take. I can definitely understand it, but I would take Daniels or Harrison.
That's fair. I'm still on the Daniels train. Personally, if somehow Washington picks Daniels over Drake May, I'm going to be ecstatic. Let's say if you had to pick between Harrison and May, who are you picking?
May.
Okay, that's the difference, is the quarterback. It's not
– Well, it's not that. It's that Daniels takes these big hits. He's undersized. He's kind of on the older side. He's 24, will be 25 when the season starts. And May's just a better prospect than Daniels. So
he's 23 right now. He just turned 23.
Who?
Daniels.
Daniels?
Yeah, he turned 23 in December.
What?
Penix and Bo are the ones I'm thinking of.
Maybe I'm remembering wrong. Okay, yeah, but May is 21.
Yeah, he'll be 22 in August.
Yeah.
I understand your side, though. I can understand it.
Yeah, I would hate to be the Patriots, honestly. I would hate to be him. I would hate to make that decision, because if Daniels doesn't hit, then you're screwed, honestly.
But you could also say that somehow Marvin doesn't turn out, you're screwed, too. Somehow.
The only way I see Marvin not turning out is the scheme doesn't fit, or he just gets injured. I don't know. It's hard to not. At
the end of his 5 year, because he doesn't like the system. He doesn't like the quarterback play, and he wants an actual team around him.
Yeah, but in 5 years, surely the Patriots should have
quarterback,
a guy. Yeah, should have a team remotely. They should be at least in the divisional round in 5 years.
In theory. It all depend on quarterback, but it's just like, you can't just do that with a quarterback. You can't just put you just can't get a guy like Wilson. Or the only guy I think I'd be okay with Baker. Me and my friend were talking about it. The only one I'd be okay with was Baker, and it's because he's had playoff success, and it's better. And he's like he's not on the oldest side. He doesn't make the most money. And he has playoff success with a team that's actually good around him. So that'd be the one I'd be like, I'm good with that. That'd be the only case I'd be okay with.
Yeah, I would try to go get Baker if I was the Patriots. So luckily free agency is before the draft. And honestly, it just depends on what they do in free agency, what they're going to do in the draft. We're talking about it like it's like what are the Patriots going to do? But, I mean, I feel like it's a lock they're going to go quarterback unless something crazy happens. Or is it
– yeah, I feel like even trying to go Marvin, it could be like a question mark because the Bears, who knows? What if they don't trade Fields, which they're supposed to in the next week or so? Apparently a deal's been done or something that I was reading. There was like a deal already done.
So. I don't know what Ryan Poles is doing, honestly.
Cooking last night, apparently. That guard got traded. That backup guard from the Bills. I saw it. And I was like, that is so random.
Did you see the clip where it was like, Josh Allen was in an interview and he was like, someone asked him, he was like, what offensive lineman is the least important? And he said the guy. They got traded.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But,
do you want to
get into the combine?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Let's get into the combine. Talking about the winners and losers of the combine. You can start off first. I'm excited to hear yours. Trying to think who yours is.
I have five guys written down. I'll say all five, but I might only really talk about three of them. But I'll talk about one right now, and then I'll let you talk about one. Troy Fontianu out of Washington. People believed he might be forced inside in the NFL due to the lack of length, but the only thing Fontianu is lacking is height. And he has a 34-inch in arms, which is awesome. And so he can play inside, probably be a dominant guard. He's making that case. And he also is making the case that he could probably be a right tackle in the NFL as well, which is where the money is. So I could definitely see him trying to push himself to that outside, to that right tackle position. And I think he could probably do it at the next level.
Yeah. I don't know much about him, but yeah, he did have a good combine. He did.
Who's your first?
My first, he was a loser in our first episode, the Senior Bowl. But my winner is Joe Milton, which the reason is because Joe Milton has one talent, and it's arm strength. And he showed that off at the combine. He threw incredible balls. Like, he might have the biggest arm in the NFL. He's definitely up there. It's just crazy. He knew the other drills that he was doing, they weren't all that great. But his deep balls were phenomenal.
He drafted off that alone. Some team will just draft him off that off chance alone.
Yeah, and that's why I have him as a winner, because I think a team will be like, wow, a big arm. Oh, my gosh. Wow. So I feel like he was a winner. And I don't know what team he would fit into, but I think – I'm a Vols fan, and it was hard to watch this season. He has a lot of struggles on the offensive side of the ball, and I think a team could help him. I think he could be a solid backup in the NFL.
I'm trying to think of a team.
Yeah.
The Colts. I mean, he's basically a Richardson clone.
Yeah, but Richardson's such a better prospect. True.
I was just saying, like, he could be like a Richardson light for the team. If they, like, Richardson gets hurt and he'd be like a backup option, he wouldn't be as good, but he'd still be that style.
Yeah, but Millen isn't much of a runner.
No, I know. I talked about my thoughts on Milton. he said it in front of his family, too.
Hey, I went to it. Tennessee game this year. It was like Tennessee versus UConn, and people were chanting at halftime, Nico, Nico. They really wanted Nico in.
He's like, so much better.
Oh, he's phenomenal. Like, watching him play was phenomenal.
I'm not a Tennessee fan myself, but I gotta say, that kid's phenomenal.
Oh my gosh. I mean, they did not help him in that UConn game, hitting RPOs, screen, no. handoffs. But Nico is that guy for Tennessee. Okay. But and also he ranked, he was top on the drills that he did do, like the vertical, he was second, broad jump, he was first.
He tested well. It was like he tested well like Richardson did the year before. I remember that. And then his stock shot up, and I was like, that's a little too high in my opinion, but he did well. So.
Yeah, so
I can't say he did well. He played three games. It's too early to say that he did well. Yeah. He got hurt. So you never know what that's going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm high on Richardson.
I do like Milton as a riser, though. I thought he definitely got himself as a draft. Like, he will be drafted for sure. Like, he has solidified himself as a draft pick.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, in a way, you're a winner in that case because you're going to get paid.
Yeah, at least you're getting the bare minimum, at least. Like, yeah. Like Sam Hartman, golly,
he's something. He's got that hair, though.
If
he doesn't make any NFL, he'll go be a model. He'll be fine.
Yeah, like, he'll be a model. Like, he'll have a successful career somewhere. But I just don't see a world where you, like, look at him as a prospect and think, wow, he's a solid backup. He's not even a third-string guy for me on any team. I was watching some Joe Alt tape, and it was horrendous. Horrendous. He stayed in the pocket, clean pocket, threw a terrible pass. It's like, how do you do this? How do you do this?
20th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Steelers select.
Oh my gosh. No, don't even. I would rather have Austin Reed from WKU. Go Hilltoppers, by the way. But yeah, he's my QB8. I haven't even watched the other guys, but he's my QB8.
He's the last quarterback on your board.
He is. Oh my gosh. Great looking dude. Nine. Yeah. He's a
beautiful dude. I've only watched nine guys so far.
How do you feel about Austin Reed? Have you watched Austin Reed at all?
No, I've not. The only thing I've watched from Austin Reed is tape from Malachi Corley. And frankly, Corley carried him so much. It's not even funny.
Yeah, he's not that good. I mean, WKU is a QBU. That's all I'm saying. Bailey Zappe in the first half this year was something else.
Yeah, especially against the Steelers, huh?
All right. Yeah. I'm a Bailey Zappe fan myself, and
you were not that game.
Not that game.
You were so mad.
Dude, I don't know. Bailey Zappe is a good backup quarterback. He is a good quarterback.
I can give you that.
Like, he could be like a Tyler Heinicke type guy, where he got that dog in him, but he's got no talent.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
But back to the winners and losers. Let's.
Yeah. So. Okay, my next winner is a Texas wide receiver, but it's not the one everybody's thinking. It is A.D. Mitchell. I felt like he was more of a winner than Worthy was. That might be a little hot take, but I felt like he actually tested better in every regard. He looked good in drills. He had some of the best numbers since DK Metcalf, okay? And I think, to me, that brought him in that first round. I think that's kind of solidified himself as a first-round pick.
And people are hyping up Worthy being 4.21. That is incredible. Very impressive. But these guys in college, these guys go to top of the top athletic schools. So they have amazing track schools. So they're taught how to run, and they're taught to be like, hey, you need to lose this weight. Where the weight in a kind of concerning weight?
165 at 5'11". He was supposed to be 6'1", 173. So yeah. He went down in weight, and he's 2 inches lower than everybody thought he'd be.
And it's not, I hate to say this, but it's not that impressive.
It's impressive, but John Ross doing it at his weight and height was more impressive to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a better way.
I'm not trying to take away from like him breaking the record, because that's still a big deal. But he lost weight to do it. He's also 23 pounds lighter than Ross was when Ross ran it, which Ross loses that weight, he probably breaks it by 5 at least. I don't know. I find it impressive, but I find it overhyped.
Yeah, you can't look at combine too deep, especially 40 times. 40 times are the least of my worries, honestly. Like, if I see you run a great 40 times,
I said, you're not even in pads at the combine. If you're in pads, sure, make the case. But they're not even in pads doing any of this.
Yeah, we did. In
pads, for all we know.
Yeah, we did talk about wearing something at the combine in our last episode.
Which, I forgot who it was. It might have been Luke McCaffrey. Someone was asked about like what they'd change about the combine. He said, well, pads. He said pads. And he's like, maybe an 11-on-11 game. I was like, okay, I can get down with that. But I don't think they'd ever do it.
Yeah, I like that. I like what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But my next winner is also a wide receiver. Zane, you'll be kind of surprised on who I'm about to get. Do you have any guesses?
I think it's Rome Odunze.
It is Rome Odunze. I am lower on Rome Odunze, but he did show that competitiveness at the draft. He tested well as well. 6'3", 212.
Good height, good weight.
Good, yeah. Good, like.
He had good speed too, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he finished second, third, 4.45.
Okay, so yeah, he was in that middle of the pack.
Yeah, and he stayed out there during the three cone trying to break what
he stayed until he got the time he wanted, which I can respect that. That shows competitiveness, and it just shows determination, which I can respect in a wide receiver.
Yeah, and honestly, I would not be surprised if I see him go above Neighbors.
Really?
Because of the combine. I think teams will see this and be like, okay, he tested well, he wanted to be out there, did good on drills. So it's like they'll be like, okay. I don't. Neighbors didn't participate, so
no, he did not, because he wanted. I think the plan was so that they could let the other player, him and Daniels, both didn't, so that other players, one, could shine, and two, when they go do the pro day, it'll help focus in on their players more, so that it'll help maybe his teammates get more stock. So that's why they both waited.
They're just saying that. Their agents are getting paid very well. That's
I thought both were smart. It shows good team leadership. Just being a good teammate in general, though, for them to do that.
Yeah,
I think Rome was definitely a riser.
Yeah, he was. He
closed that gap a little more for me, but he didn't pass Neighbors.
I still have my questions on Rome Odunze, but I still think Rome Odunze was a riser this weekend, and he's I'm excited to watch him. My dream team for Rome Odunze is the Titans.
Titans, yeah. That'd be perfect. I think Titans fans would be happy.
Yeah, if a top three wide receiver falls to seven, I'm taking a receiver. I am for sure.
Over Joe Alt?
What?
Over Joe Alt?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, I can.
I like Joe. I like Alt, but my thing with the Titans is this offseason, build around Levis. Like, let's see if he's your guy or not.
Sure. They're probably going to bring in some top linemen this offseason anyway.
Yeah. And if y'all go, Callahan, he's an offensive line coach. So bring – that'll help the O-line. So I would take a receiver, especially if Adunze or Neighbors is still on the board.
That's fair. I agree. But
if not, take a lineman.
I'm trying to think of my third. I got two guys. I got three guys, really. I'm trying to think between right now who I actually want to talk about.
Do you get to losers?
We can do a loser next, yeah. So that way it'll give me more time to decide. Cameron Kitchens was one of the biggest losers of the combine, in my opinion. He tested awful.
Yes.
He just looked awful in every regard, I felt like, during the whole thing. I felt like his stock plummeted.
Yeah, I think he's one of the, like, I did say, like, the combine doesn't really mean anything, but if you have a combine this bad, it means something.
Yes, like, if you have a bad combine, it means something. If you have a amazing combine, it means something. But if you have a good or just okay combine, you're fine.
Yeah, like, it doesn't really matter. He's the second worst safety in the 40-yard dash.
That's insane. So, we're 6'5", 40-yard dash, with a 9.2 broad jump, which offensive linemen, multiple of them, jumped further than the 203 Cameron Kitchens.
Which is insane.
Yes. His stock, I think, fell maybe to a third round, like, area.
Yeah, he was. I saw him in the first round.
I do remember that. I used to have him there, but no.
Yeah, I thought I had him there. I think one mock draft I did, the Steelers picking him up, but now it's just no. Should I say my loser or winner?
Yeah, go for it. Go for another one of the losers.
Loser of mine. I'm trying to. Mims. The Georgia O-line?
I had him as a winner.
Really?
Yes. Outside of. The only reason I had him as, like, maybe not. I didn't say him. Was because he got hurt.
Yeah, that's why I have him as a loser, which you can't really control.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like there were many losers this year.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of guys had a good combine or a decent, like, an all right combine, nothing to worry about. But you getting hurt is really concerning, and especially as a hamstring injury.
On the 40.
Yeah. So,
which it was on his second attempt. So
yeah, which is fair. And he's a Georgia O-line, so you know you can already put him as a loser. I know how you feel about Georgia O-line.
See, this guy's like, after y'all drafted your guy and he did good, I've kind of been a little more open-minded. That's why I was like, well, I felt like, okay, the reason I had him as a winner is because he came in at 6'7". 340, 30-inch arms, or 36-inch arms, 11 and a fourth inch hands, and a better Broad jump, by the way, in Kitchens at 9.3. And then a 5.07 on his first attempt at the 40. To me, that's a winner. That speaks winner. And his hamstring will be fine by the time his pro day comes around, apparently. So I didn't think his stock really got hurt.
Yeah, I just felt like I had to say, or not, I didn't feel like I had to say, but I felt like there wasn't another loser that I could really think of.
I have two more. And they weren't big either. One of them was big. One of them was big. But the other was like just a slight because he tested the worst of his position.
Who?
Spencer Rattler. Now,
but he's your boy, though.
He's McCarthy's my boy. But Spencer Rattler is like that guy that I'm like, I'm cheering on. He tested the worst out of all the quarterbacks. Guaranteed, it was only like what, like five quarterbacks who actually tested.
Yeah.
And his play doesn't really revolve around him being a tool threat, but he finished last in every testing drill among the quarterbacks, which is really disappointing to me. So I don't know. I kind of had him as a slight loser. I don't think it'll affect him too much, but he felt like a slight loser from today because I feel like he's only a loser because he didn't help his stock. And I feel like if he had a good day, he would have helped his stock.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think he... Yeah,
he just couldn't test him. Do you have any more winners or losers?
I have two more winners. I mean, actually, okay. I have three. I mean, I could. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go in depth in all three. Blake Corum from Michigan.
He's a dog.
He's a dog. He outlifted Joe Alton.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was like, I saw that and I was like, I had to double check that. That was really impressive. And another one is I have Quinnen Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. Those are my two.
Those were two of my last three. Those were the guys I was deciding on.
Like, I feel like Quinnen Mitchell is making his case for DB1.
I think he already did it. I think the combine kind of cemented himself as number one. The Senior Bowl, like, skyrocketed his stock. And this just bumped it up enough to put him at one. Which I was saying during the combine, I was like, I think he's put himself at one. And he's continued to prove that. So I've been happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, Nate Wiggins also had a good combine, too.
Oh, yeah. Outside of getting hurt, like Mims did. He had a pretty good combine. He came a little undersized in, like, the weight department than I would have liked. But he tested well. Otherwise,
being 173,
yeah,
but
he's gonna get like his weight up.
I feel like a lot of these guys are becoming lighter at their position, like linebackers or wide receivers.
It's become a lot softer, so they don't have to put on as much weight or meat on their bones, so because they don't have to take the hardest hits now. I feel like,
yeah.
And then I'm gonna jump to Brian Thomas a little bit. He was the second fastest wide receiver at the combine. He looked excellent in every drill. I think he's put himself definitely as maybe a viable number one option at wide receiver for a team. So he'll probably be a later first round pick still, but like he'll be wide receiver four off the board now, I feel like, for sure.
Wide receiver four?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I for some reason I was like, I forgot about Adunze.
Yeah, you just talked about him.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I like Brian Thomas. I was watching his film the other day, and he looked phenomenal. The only thing I'm a little worried about is his the catch point. He likes to catch it in the basket and doesn't really use his hands as much. So
it's workable though. It's not like
yeah.
It's not Quentin Johnston bad. That's what matters.
Yeah.
I had one last winner. I feel like he deserves at least a shout out because he tested insane for the running backs. It was Isaac Giardo out of Louisville. Some people were calling him a hidden gem out of Louisville before, but I guess the secret's out now. He tested one of the best ever at all time out of every running back at the combine in history. So I felt like he's definitely a riser. I haven't seen much film on him to say more, but he definitely rose up boards, I feel like, with this amazing combine he had.
Yeah. All I'm saying about the running back position is draft Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright is a dog. I watched him in Tennessee, and he is phenomenal. He averaged 6.5 yards per carry.
Did he test?
He did. He ran a 4.38, which I was kind of expecting faster.
He ran a 3. He ran a 4.3,
or like closer to Isaac speed, like 4.385. But I mean, 4.3 isn't anything crazy. But I think that is a really good. I don't know. I thought he looked really, really fast. Like, I thought he was going to... The
thing is, game speed and 40 speed are two different things.
Yeah.
Like, Keon Coleman, awful 40 time. Then when they were doing the gauntlet drill, amazing run time. I thought his stock was about to plummet out the bottom when I saw that 40 time. And then when I saw his game speed, when they were doing the drills, he was running like 20-ish miles an hour. I was like, okay, never mind. He's fine. So, you know, the 40 isn't the best indicator of speed, at least, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. But, yeah. Because, yeah, Roma Dunze ran a 4.45.
Which, that's good. For his size. His size and everything. That's what was... I felt like he ran better than expected.
Hopefully he can use that at the line of scrimmage in the NFL.
It's his release. He's got to work on the release. He'll be fine.
It's bad. That's why I am kind of lower than Neighbors. Because Neighbors just has that... what's the word I'm looking for? Hold up.
What's that word? Now I'm trying to think of it. That twitchiness?
The shiftiness.
Yeah, the shiftiness.
He is so shifty, and Roma Dunze doesn't have as much of that than as Neighbors does.
That's fair. Completely fair.
But he is my wide receiver 3 still.
We'll be talking about we'll do our rankings next week. Our full rankings. We'll actually get to do those. I had some people ask me about that because they've been wanting to hear like all why you think Rome is why you're not the biggest Rome fan.
It's the more and more I watch him, I am like, why am I low on him? Because he has great stats. His contested catch rate is incredible. And I don't know. Maybe it's just my first year of watching film, and it's just like me thinking, I don't know, this is a concern. But the line of scrimmage, like he can't – his release, he just can't win. But if he didn't have his contested catch, then I would be more concerned.
He'll have D-Hop next year to learn from, so he'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think that's why I think – and that's why I think he's a good fit for Tennessee.
Fair. Fair. Do you want to talk about – do you got any more risers or followers, really? Anything?
No, not really. Just don't look too deep into the combine. That's all
I can say. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been saying, too. I've been saying it for a while. I said it last year. And I feel like it just gets more and more true every year with more and more players opting out who are at the top. And I'm just like, yeah. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, we'll see that more and more in the future.
for sure.
I do have a question. What do you think your 40 time would be?
Like 5'2".
5'2"?
I don't know. I'm probably a little high on myself.
Hey, that's pretty nice. 5'2".
I'm probably saying I'm a little, I don't even know. 40, I'd have to like, I haven't ran in forever, so I'd say probably closer to 6, if I'm being honest. I don't know. If I got back into running, maybe it'd be better.
Yeah, if I had a week, if I had like a month to prepare, yeah, if I knew like
a month of running, I probably could get, I don't know. I don't know what I'd get.
Yeah. Cause I don't know. Probably like a 5.455 for me.
Yeah. I feel like that range is fair for both of us. I saw a TikTok, some guy's girlfriend said, "Oh, I could run a 4 something." She ran like an 8.
Yeah,
I thought that was so funny. She's like, "That's pretty nice." So funny.
Yeah, funny and story. I don't think we like realize how fast these guys are truly running.
Yeah, it's kidding. Like, oh, I'm gonna point something out. I am taller than Xavier Worthy, and I am the same weight as Xavier Worthy. And he's running a 4.21. Insane. It's insane, but oh man. It's undersized.
Yeah, he is underweight.
Which I mean, the undersized thing doesn't affect as much now, but
yeah, look at Swift or not Swift, Smith.
Smith, well, okay, I was gonna say Dell, but then he got hurt, which I felt like deals with his size. I know the stats aren't there, but the gut feeling says it definitely doesn't help. What did you think? So, at the time of recording this, all the franchise tags just went out. What do you think of all that?
I don't like the franchise tag. I feel like with the franchise tag, you should, I don't know. It should be like, tag them, quote unquote, and then let them see. Like, if a team does offer them, like, you have the option to, like,
match it.
Yeah.
So, like, kind of the So, what the Patriots did with Duggar today, which was the transition tag, which to me is the perfect tag.
Wait, that's the transition tag?
Yes, that's what the transition tag is.
Dude, teams never do that, though.
No, it's actually only been used 14 times all time. No, wait, not 14. I think it's maybe 6. I don't know. It's not a lot. Not a lot of times it's been used. Let me see. It was said today a couple times. I don't think it was much. I don't know. I was really upset about it because I'm a Patriots fan and we have money. And like seeing that all this going on, and them just doing that and just getting tagged and we can't even try and get them or anything, and they didn't get a deal done with their team. I don't know. It just kind of upsets me.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, I would think the Patriots would be the last team to use that tag because of y'all have $101 million.
Yeah.
That is a crazy amount of money.
Which, the reason we did that with Duggar is because we're actually working on a long-term deal. So we're just stalling that out because we already almost have a deal done and we just need a little more time. So with that makes sense. But forcing a player who doesn't want to play for y'all this year because they didn't want to sign a deal to play another year because they're not getting paid enough by y'all is just ridiculous. Because another team would have probably paid them top dollar.
Yeah.
That's at least my perspective on it.
Well, now free agency opens in like 10 days. Yeah. That'll be exciting. Oh, yeah, a week?
It's next week. But stuff will start dropping on Monday.
What?
I said stuff will start happening on Monday, though.
That will be exciting.
Yes.
We'll have a lot more to talk about. But the players tagged were Pittman, Brian Burns, Jalen Johnson, Justin
Madubuike.
Madubuike, yeah. Tony Winfield, Josh Allen, and Kyler Duggar. Those are some pretty big names.
Yes, all of them were the biggest free agents at the positions.
Yeah.
Snead also sucks. Next, by the way.
Snead? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that happened. Didn't it happen yesterday?
Yeah, it happened
Monday?
The day before. Oh, and it was six players that have been transition tagged over the past 15 years. So he's been the sixth.
Do you know who they are?
The other five? Kenyon Drake, yeah, when he was with Arizona in 2020. In 2018, it was Kyle Fuller in Chicago. 2015, it was Charles Clay in Miami. 2014, it was Alex Mack in Cleveland. 2014, it was linebacker Jason Wollards from Pittsburgh. So, yeah. I don't know. I find it. I think that should be the one that's the norm. I can understand the other one, but it's just like players should be allowed to find the team that they're getting the most money from in all situations. Like, if you're gonna tag a player and then sign a long-term deal with them this offseason, perfect. But if you're forcing them to stay another year, it kills an entertainment aspect of the industry, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like there should be more players that come out about it. I'm kind of surprised there aren't. That are like, hey, I don't want this. Like, I demand a contract or trade me.
I agree. And, I mean, last year we saw all the running backs who wanted a long-term deal all get franchise tagged. And they got more money that year. But how's that looking now? They're right back in free agency.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, talking about running back Barkley.
What?
Barkley didn't get franchise tagged.
He did not. Thank goodness for him. I was really hoping for his sake he wouldn't.
Yeah. Where do you think he's going to go?
I think it was like, what, 9 teams that are inquired about him. But I'm thinking Texans.
That would be a beautiful fit. That would be a phenomenal fit. Help Stroud. You'd have Pierce as RB2. They could be a dangerous team. They could really be a dangerous team.
I think he could be the second best running back next year if he went there.
Yeah, behind CMC.
Yes.
Well, I also saw a report today that Daniel Jones, or the Giants, are done with Daniel Jones.
I don't know how true that is, though. Because I also saw a report today that said Jaden Daniels doesn't want to go to the Patriots, and then Jaden Daniels tweeted out, cap. So, I don't believe any report, really. Like,
yeah, you had to take,
like Phil Perry and stuff, I don't believe them. They're bums.
Yeah, you have to take reports with a grain of salt.
Unless it's from, like, Rappaport or something.
Yeah.
Which, who was it? Well, it was Schefter tweeted about Jason Kelsey's going to retire, and then he finally did it himself today. It was like, dude, you couldn't have waited until after Kelsey said it.
No, I legit saw that. It was like legit 5 minutes before the press conference. And then Adam Schefter, like, was like,
oh. He tweeted it out right after the Super Bowl. Do you remember?
Okay, yeah, but I didn't take that as like a serious thing. I mean, I was like, okay, yeah. It's whatever. And Jason kind of talked about it too. He was like, it's a hard time like to decide if you are right after the playoffs.
I mean, the minute I saw him at the Super Bowl, I was like, okay, he's done.
Yeah. And it was smart for him to retire.
Yeah. He had that Encino Man mask on and everything. I was like, yeah, he's definitely done.
Yeah. He was very drunk.
It was so funny. I felt that press conference, though, was awesome.
I actually did not watch it.
Really? It was a good one. It was just his farewell and everything. He shouted out his like favorite moments. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. But we did call out the Seahawks cuts.
Yes, I thought that was Disley and both the safeties. I was like, wow.
I was surprised with Diggs. I thought they were going to keep him.
Yeah, I did too. I was talking with somebody about it, and I was like, I thought they were going to keep Diggs. Like the other two, sure. I completely understood it. I think, how did that work out? I'm going to look at their cap space.
They saved $35 million.
In total, with Disley, I think they saved almost 50.
Oh, 50?
Was it 50? Well, that's not right. Okay, that's before. Okay. They have 36. Yeah, that's my bad. Because does this have him? No, okay, so it was only 36. That's my bad. Something I am surprised about is that they're releasing Adams right now and not post-June, because they would have gotten another, like, 17. His cap number right now, he's negative 20.
Yeah, I don't know why they did. Maybe for him to, like, test free agency.
Which I don't feel like he's earned that with this team. But, hey, that's their choice, I guess. Yeah. Now, hear me out. Since Russ did get released, Russell Wilson back to the Seattle Seahawks.
I mean, it would be so funny. It would be hilarious. The biggest
trade in NFL history.
Do you think that is the worst trade of NFL history?
It's top two. Actually, top three. Top three.
Who's the first two?
Well, I actually have a signed ball from him. Do you remember the trade back? I think it was early 2000s. He was a running back, and Minnesota traded like three. They traded a bunch of draft picks for him. I forgot. Oh gosh, his name's slipping my mind. Herschel Walker.
Gonna be real. I've never heard of that guy.
Really? Go look up the Herschel Walker trade.
Herschel Walker.
Just do yourself a look at the Herschel Walker trade. It's definitely something.
In 1989?
Yes. It's something. That, I think, goes down as, I mean, guaranteed. It helped the Cowboys a lot. But for the Vikings, I thought it was a very, very bad trade, at least, from what I was looking at it.
Herschel, what?
Trying to find the actual trade itself. That, I think, goes down as one of the worst. I think the Watson trade is worse as well.
Yeah, that is a horrendous trade.
Trying to find.
But I think Russell's is worse.
Yeah, okay, here you go. The Vikings sent to the Cowboys five players and six draft picks. Those draft picks turned into Emmitt Smith, Russell Maryland, Kevin Smith, and Darian Woodson. That first one alone, to me, was like, okay, not worth it.
Yeah, you got a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Hall of Fame running back. Not running back, wait. Yeah, running back. Woodson.
Yeah, I think Wilson.
Woodson was named to five Pro Bowls. And is the all-time career leading tackler. Walker only played two seasons with the Vikings, never passing 1,000 yards.
That's crazy to trade that much for a running back.
Yeah. So they ended up with – the Vikings ended up trading basically 10 players, and the Cowboys ended up trading away one of those draft picks later.
Did they pay him?
I think they paid him, but like he never passed 1,000 yards in a season for them when he was traded there. So
that'll get you.
Yeah.
But I think Wilson's trade was worse because the Broncos decided to pay him, and they gave up a lot of draft picks, and they showed like the Broncos kind of disrespected Russ with them releasing. They basically said, hey, I would rather take $85 million in dead cap than have you still on the team.
See, okay, but he also was disrespectful he's been disrespectful for months from what I've been reading up on. Apparently he's been a diva with the team too, so it's just like, you know, I don't know. It's just like both sides are in the wrong.
Where do you think a good fit for him is?
Seattle.
I don't like that.
You said like, what?
At all.
You don't like it?
I don't like that. No. You already got an older quarterback.
He's better than Geno.
Okay.
He's better than... Like, every quarterback is better than Geno. Are you kidding? Geno is not a good quarterback.
I'm not saying Geno's good.
Geno's like bottom eight. I'd take Russ.
Would you rather have Zach Wilson or Geno Smith?
That's Geno Smith. Zach Wilson's not even a top 32. Come on, now.
Okay. I mean, you were hyping up Zach Wilson.
Only just want it because it just sounds like a good spot for him. I'm going to get the Browns trade with to get Deshaun Watson. That trade is a little bit worse.
Yeah. Browns was like 3 first-round picks.
It was 3 first-round picks and 2 other picks.
Hasn't played football in 720-something days.
The Wilson trade was 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and a 5th-round pick, Noah Fant, and Drew Lock and Shelby Harris.
Stop sleeping on Noah Fant. But...
He's a free agent, so...
Yeah.
The 2 first-round picks, by the way, ended up being Charles Cross and Devin Witherspoon.
Great pickup for Seattle.
Yes, great pickup.
But terrible for the Broncos.
Awful.
I would like to see Wilson go to the Steelers if the Steelers are picking up a quarterback. Have you seen the reports? Every time I look at Twitter, the Steelers are not interested in bringing in a quarterback. The Steelers are interested in
getting it's a quarterback. It's like the Patriots with what they're doing with the draft. Some beat reporter just wants to say something.
Yeah. But Steelers owner, I can't think of his name. What's his name? Ryan something? No. The Steelers owner basically said they're not. They trust Kenny Pickett. So.
Which is crazy, by the way. In my opinion, it's crazy. But hey, I respect backing your guy.
Yeah, they drafted him. So I don't. People are hating on Pickett too much, and the fact that. Giving him a 3rd year isn't a terrible idea for the fact that I don't mind us bringing in a veteran quarterback, but let Pickett have his games, the first 5 games or so. And then if it doesn't work out, then just put in a veteran. But this is his first year under a new offensive coordinator. a better O-line, great running back duo. So you got to trust the process, kind of, and just hope that he has a great offseason this year, and then he truly shows up.
I think at best you're going to see like a Ryan Tannehill out of Kenny Pickett, though. I mean, he's not going to be amazing. I don't know, that's my opinion, at least.
It's hard to see Kenny Pickett becoming a good quarterback.
He could be a solid, okay, bridge quarterback, but I don't think he'll ever be more.
Yeah.
Still think that draft was crazy. How y'all picked? He was the only quarterback picked in the first round.
Who else was in that draft? Willis,
Corral, Brock Purdy. Y'all could have picked Brock Purdy.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have worked out for the fact that he had a great system in San Fran.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Okay, well, I'm saying that because he...
Two things can be true if you want it to be. He's in a great system, and he's playing well.
If you put Tua in Brock Purdy's spot, Tua would do worse.
I think they do about the same.
They kind of are in the same system, to a point.
Tua had a better year. Statistically speaking.
Okay, well, did you not see those underthrown balls?
No, there definitely were. I said statistically speaking.
Yeah, that is fair. Statistically, Tua was the greatest quarterback in this year. He should have won quarterback or MVP.
No, because he wasn't. No.
Hey, I don't know. Hot take. Tua should have won MVP.
You know that's not true.
Yeah, no, I know. I do not like Tua. As a person, he seems like a great guy.
Yeah. I'm just not a big fan of his play.
Yeah, I'm not either.
And I think the Dolphins are doing some dumb stuff. They're releasing all these players. We also called Jerome Baker a couple weeks back, being released, and he was released today. Releasing all these players just so they're probably going to have to pay Tua. I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, they probably are releasing all these guys for that. I didn't even think about it.
They're going to pay him like $55 million a year. It's going to be absurd.
Oh. I can't wait to look at my phone one day and be like, oh, this is the Dolphins' downfall.
I think they're not going to be great this year. After all these releases, I'm like, there's so many holes in this defense, and they're still in the negative in cap space. They're in for a bumpy ride this year.
They are. I still think they will be all right, though, this year.
Yeah, overall. But I still think it's going to be... Because they are still negative $18 million in cap space.
Yeah. That's concerning.
I'm just looking at this because I thought it was interesting. L'Jarius Sneed. Teams interested are the Lions, Vikings, Patriots, Colts, Falcons, Jaguars, and Titans. It's a interesting group.
I like that group of teams. It is an interesting.
Yeah. The belief is that he could fetch for around a second round pick.
I would trade for him.
I would too. I mean, if I'm the Lions, the Lions, yeah. 100%, I jump
probably with that second round pick.
Yeah. Which, the Chiefs getting another second round pick, I hate that so much. But it would be a great trade for the Vikings. Or not the Vikings, the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Lions go through a second round pick at him.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say?
I don't. Any last thoughts?
I do not have any last thoughts.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Dropback Podcast. Be sure wherever you are listening to leave a like, a follow, subscribe, or even a comment. We always appreciate it. If y'all disagree with any takes or anything, let us know down in the comments. As always, thank y'all for tuning in. Hope y'all tune in to the next one. Peace out.
Peace.